Greetings in the name of the Lord. So nice to see all of you, even on DMC Online. Today, I'm going to share from the two passages here. I'll invite you to stand up, and we'll read these two passages together. It's taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, and the second we will read from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. Okay? Let's read together. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask that your words will inform our minds, inspire our hearts, and instruct our behaviors today. May you grant me the wisdom and the favor to speak your truth and guide my lips that every spoken word will glorify your name. In Jesus' most beautiful and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you so much. Yes, as Pastor Chris has mentioned, we are now in the church series of Church Life 101. And we have heard last week when Pastor Chris opens up with the first series, why do we belong to a church? Why should we belong to a church? And it's reminding us as we look back at our humble beginnings and also the characteristics of a church itself. Well, let me show you this slide that I picked from Pastor Chris' sermon. I love the fact that heaven and earth, that is an intertwined in between, and how Jesus has crossed space between that to bring heaven to earth. If you remember what Pastor Chris has said. And you know what? And the desire for us is to kick hell out of earth in the coming days. You know, in today, the church is also like our cell group. And our cell group is the church. All right? And I will use this term interchangeably as I share. So today, this week, I will share about what does church do for me? Now, maybe as I look around, maybe can I see a show of hands? How many of you have been in DMC for more than 15 years? Maybe you can show of hands. Maybe in the online as well, you can type in the chat, I've been there in 15 years. Yeah, everybody just look around. Yeah, 15 years or more, you can see many hands as well. Okay, yep. Somebody want to give a clap? Just give a clap, yeah. We just want to thank God for all these people. Now you see their hands up. You can actually turn to them and ask them, what does church do for them? So that I don't have to share the message today. No, I'm just kidding. I've been in DMC for 21 years now. And I just heard that Pastor Yichet is also 21 years. And just like Pastor Chris, I am married here. And I am pretty sure that I'm going to expire here as well. Yeah, there's so many wonderful stories from each of you, the ones that raised your hands especially, about God's goodness and why you are still here. You know, but regardless of the years ahead, I am pretty sure that many of you who are here 1 or 2 years have been truly blessed by God. Like last week, my friend Kim Ming has been baptized and he has shared how God has been wonderful to him. And he's only attending cell group and even church for 1 or 2 years. You know, as I begin this message, let us recap on what the word church is to us. The church in translation of Greek, it's the word ecclesia, which all defines as an assembly or the call out ones. Basically, the body of believers. Therefore, we know that the church now is not a building. It is the people. Yeah, the church is not a building. It is the people, the body of believers. Now, why do we call it a body of believers? As we read it earlier in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says that, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So who is this he? The Bible clearly states that this he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he is the head of the body, the church. Therefore, all of us, we are his followers, the believers who believed in him, together now that we are his body. Now today, we struggle with a lot of questions asked by those who sometimes do not understand why we meet together as a church. Perhaps some of the common questions that you might have heard as well, or you might have thought of it before. The question goes that, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church because I don't get anything. Or perhaps this new generation, many of us say that, why do I need to go to church when I can hear sermons online in YouTube and learn all by myself? This is a generation of DIY, do it yourself. And sadly, this is also in the areas of faith. Well, in reality, they misunderstand why the church is important and how ignoring the Bible's command together for corporate worship will bring upon something that is not positive in their life. Christian fellowship is not optional, but it's essential. The church of corporate worshipers is a place where all good things happen. Amen? Amen. Yes, the church is supposed to be a place where all good things happen. It is the closest to heaven on earth. Yeah? And although we ultimately receive all good things, but that is not because that we are entitled for it, but it is because God has freely given it to us. A corporate gathering, like all of us, and an obedient worship to God releases his blessings on his people. And that is the objective and the intention of God where we gather together. In the olden times in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we know this, that it says that every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They meet together in temple courts and they break bread in their homes. Every day, the church is not considered as a building as we know it, or it's not even just a weekend celebration, Saturday or Sunday. But it is about the people meeting together and the life that happens 7 days a week. Yeah? And that is what church is all about, every day. I know many of you say, oh yeah, we can't meet every day because we have to travel so far, we are stuck in a jam, we are you know, busy in our work and things like that. But do you realize that even right now, in every cell group, you have a WhatsApp group, and every day you can communicate with each other, can connect with each other, can go through a phone call, can even meet for dinner once in a while. And this is how we meet every day. So I would extend that from the temple courts to break bread in their homes, extend that to WhatsApp call, to eating dinner and having lunch with each other, you know, and that's how we can meet together. Let me re-emphasize again why Jesus is the head of the body of believers. And this is taken in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 to 23, it says that, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So now that we are convinced and believe that truly Jesus is the head of the body, the church, now what does he have in store as the head for the body? And how does this body, us, affect our life, his blessings and all together as the head for his body? I would like to tie this to John 15. Now, Jesus as the head, he is like the vine, and God the Father is the gardener. He cares for the body of believers, the church. So this big idea I want you to remember today is that Jesus cares deeply for his body, the church. Now, there are three areas of blessings where Jesus looks after for the welfare and the well-being of the body. The first is the physical aspect. Now, it is natural for every one of us to take care of our physical body. You know, most of us, some of us are working out to keep our physical body healthy. We are careful with what we eat and make sure that our body functions well at a very optimum level. There is a saying nowadays, in modern days, that we work very hard, neglecting our health to earn a great income, but later on in years, we will use all the income that we earned to work hard in getting back our health. Yeah, I hope we are not like that. But one thing's for sure, the moral of the story is that we look after our physical body, all right? And God looks after his church. And not only he looks after it, he prunes it. In the story of the vine and the branches, in verse 2, the Bible says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, when the people of God meet together, the purpose, they meet and then they serve one another physically. They build each other up in the teaching of the word, which is the truth of life. And this teaching, the word of God, transforms their lives and they reflect it in their actions. And that reflects through their acts of service. Jesus helps the people to build the body by equipping each person to their full potential and to serve one another. So the first point, building a body, I want to read from Ephesians 4, 11, 12. This is what Christ did. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is his purpose and plan, that he provides different roles, that he helps different groups of people to learn, to teach, to evangelize, to build the body. Besides that, the Lord also feeds the body. Now, what do I mean by feeding? I know DMC cell groups are not only following the guidelines of the four W's, which is the welcome, the worship, the word, and the works. Definitely in a culture, there is the fifth W. What is it? It is the walap, which is the supper. You know, regardless of whether we are locked down or not, I still see cell groups having supper, even after Zoom meetings, all right? So this is something that's part of our culture. And Jesus not only provides and feeds us with good, nutritious food, but he also feeds the church with the powerful truth of the word. Why is this important? In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus answered and reminded us that it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, the cell group, the church, aims to invoke the truth through the word. And not only by speaking of the truth, the idea is to apply them in life. We all know that truth does not change lives, but applied truth changes lives. The people of God gather together as a group, looking out for each other's welfare and well-being. In our DMC cell church structure, in our church, we have always have cell leaders and assistant cell leaders looking after and shepherding and care for the sheep and the members. And on top of that, there are zone leaders that has roles to take care of the cell leaders and the assistant cell leaders. And on top of that, there are zone pastors that's watching over their zone leaders and the whole zone itself. You know what that means? That means that no one gets left behind. We all go through life's challenges and different seasons in life. And it is important not only to have God by our side, but also brothers and sisters that cares and supports us
who also is learning to be Christ-like, and they are next to you. The church generally supports each other from cradle to the grave. The body goes through different seasons. All of you may know, such as marriages or even giving births, new births, sickness, and sometimes, most definitely, death. For the new generation nowadays, it really takes a kampong to raise a children. Amen. Let me tell you a story. Recently, at the end of December 2021, as you might remember, there's a lot of flood in Klang Valley. And one of my cell leaders in PJS1 had his home underwater. And it happened so fast. He didn't even have time to bring his furniture up or even relocate his car. As you can see here, his house is underwater. But you can see that after the flood, the cell group members came to help to clean up and to replace the furniture. This is just a small example of how the church looks after each other. There are many, many stories, I believe, across the years, across the cell group of the life of DUMC. You know, the Lord prunes and transforms us so that we give our lives to respond from a selfless and selfish and selfie mode to a selfless mode and to help each other physically. Now, the second area of blessing where Jesus looks after the welfare and well-being of the body is that the emotional aspect. Now today, anxiety, stress, and depression are more common than the common flu. Everyone is so tensed up by the world that if I actually throw a small pebble across the place, across the auditorium, you may find someone who will be feeling stress or even emotional fatigue to no matter what age group they are in. Just the other day, I was talking to my son and I hear them talking to each other. The kids are talking. Usually they have new jargons and new lingos. And I was shocked when the in thing that they are talking about now is that their friends having emotional damage. They are emotionally damaged. The social aspect of today's world has become so complicated that the result is not harming the physical body alone, but it is destroying it from within. And Jesus stands in this gap for our emotional well-being. Now, Jesus himself is the pillar to overcome the stress of the world. He is the solution, my friends. Jesus himself was pressured so many times by the Pharisees and the priests, yet he stood firm, fixing his eyes on God, and he obeyed God's command. And you know what? He came out victorious, even through death. And you know that through this victory, it is not a victory for himself. It is a victory also for us. Therefore, you have heard me say this, that we, the believers of Christ, the followers, are not victims, but we are victors in Christ. In John chapter 15, verse 3 to 4, Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me, as I also remain in you." What does this mean to us emotionally? Jesus is in us. He is with us. He is for us. We just need to remain in him. Trust him. God has done it all for us and has forgiven all our sins. This forgiveness has removed the punishment of the eternal damnation. And it has been removed by Christ once and for all, and therefore we stand to inherit the eternal glory with him in heaven. Now the church comes together and they are called to pray and support each other. And you know what? That Jesus will be there. How do I know this? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 to 20, again, "Truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." We read earlier as well from the vine, verse 7, John 15. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory." The Lord hears and will intervene in our prayers. We look to him. We look to him for his timing and his best response to our situation. I know many of us sometimes you say, there's no answer to my prayer. I am not healed. My business is not turning around. But one thing is for sure, you can trust in him because he is the head of the church. You know why? Because he knows the body the best. And we got to remain in him. Jesus himself has come to bring us peace in this fallen world. Therefore, we can face them together with him. Now, he came to bring us peace to our emotional state. Now, this peace is not the peace that is absent of troubles, but it is the peace that is in the midst of troubles. This is what Jesus is giving to us. How do I know this? In John 16, verse 33, Jesus mentioned this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Besides stress and depression, there is another emotional state that we have in our lives, which is unforgiveness, hatred, malice. And these kinds of feelings and emotional things that we have does not bear good fruits in our lives emotionally. Jesus will help us to bear much fruit and prune them. One of my zone leader, Kelvin Lee, messaged me this picture in his garden, and it made me laugh because of his caption. He posted this and wrote, "Unfruitful papaya tree, enough warning given, cutting it down." I really don't know how he gave the tree warning, but apparently he did. And out of his three trees, two of them were more fruitful, as you can see here, and therefore he kept them. And not only he kept them, he is able to share the fruits with others in the neighborhood. Now, the branches that remain in the vine will be pruned and bear much fruits. Now, what kinds of fruits could the church really receive from God? One verse I want to read describes part of the fruits wonderfully. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Jesus has instructed the church to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even God in Christ forgave you. You know, forgiveness is such an important thing. If we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, you have heard this, it is like we are drinking the poison meant for another person. I know many of you heard this and says that, hey, how come I'm not receiving a lot of love, a lot of good fruits from my cell group? I know we are all work in progress. But most importantly, the body of believers are called to work in progress under the supervision, direction, and leading of the Creator God. We are in the process of transformation. I'm always encouraged by our church culture, whereby someone would ask for prayer, whether in person or online, and the church is always ready to pray on the spot in the WhatsApp group for anyone that is in need. You know, all this builds faith and support for one another, and we are the recipients of all these fruits. There is also the ministry of presence that emotionally, even though we do not know what to say or what to do, there is this ministry of presence that we are being. We'll just be there for one another. Friends, we may be fearful of the unknown in the future or may even experience life challenges and concerns. However, together we commit our petitions to the Lord Almighty, and He is in control and He will take care of His body. Pastor Chris read earlier, Philippians 4, 6, 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So we know that God takes care of His church physically and also emotional aspect. And the third, and not the last, in regards of the church, which is no doubt the spiritual aspect. In John 15, verse 9 to 11 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. You keep my commands. You will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, all of us believers has learned that our fight is not of the flesh and of blood, but of the principalities of the dark world. Yes, there is spiritually dark world behind everything. Recently, we learned from the book of Revelation that things are not what it seems at times because there is a spiritual warfare going on. National Geographic taught us that the lioness chases the herd. Yes, the lioness. The church chased the lion, but it's the lioness that chased the herd. Okay? And the lioness chased the herd until one prey is caught, separated, and then pounces on the kill. This is how believers may be led astray. We know that whenever we start to backslide, it is when we stop spending time with God personally. We know when we are starting to drift apart from the community is when we stop going to church and we stop going to cell group. The gathering of God's people strengthens that bond in keeping unity and being accountable to one another. Whenever you miss cell group or you miss church, there is people there asking, how are you? And there are people there to support and to care for you. In DUMC, the cell group acts as a strong herd, watching over one another in love and keeping each other accountable and encouraged to journey well in faith so that each and every one of you, you and I, may end well. Now, Jesus, as the head of the church, Jesus remained in his love and he responded in love. He asks us and reminds us to love like he, to love like him, to love like Jesus. The church is commanded to do this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. The church, the body of believers, responses by loving God first and then to others just as like ourselves. The church will express themselves with God's love, and that is why we see good works being performed. It is demonstrated righteousness from the body of believers. This act of love represents who Jesus is as the head of the church, as the body carries out his purpose and his plans. The church learns how to love not only themselves, but others as well. And finally, in verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So by benefiting from the physical aspect and the emotional aspect, spiritually we are nurtured, spiritually we experience complete joy. There is complete joy in God. This joy is not a temporary happiness, but it is an everlasting pleasure that comes from the Lord. It is regardless of the situation and challenges that we are in, because this joy is made complete in God's love. We become spiritually mature and we see situation challenges differently. We are cared for. We are being prayed for. We are seeking the Lord and the Holy Spirit for direction. All this transforms our lives, and we have a community that helps us to go through this. Jesus has promised to be on our side in every situation. In James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish his work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. There will be complete joy despite the circumstances that we are in. You know why? Because Jesus allows us to grow spiritually mature in our faith. Now, in the world of sports, a good coach can make a person better. In a gym, a good instructor can make you slimmer or tougher. In a church, a good disciple can make the world a better place, like heaven on earth. And today, Jesus Christ is our best coach and instructor. In closing, remember I shared about my cell leader who had his home flooded in December? Well, sadly, it happened again in March of 2022. Now, this time, almost all their tiles on the ground floor were lifted and broken due to the air and water trapped beneath it. The whole ground floor was just flooded and all the tiles has been just ruined. It was really devastating. Now, nevertheless, you know what? Both the husband and wife stood firm in faith, trusting God as the entire cell members prayed together and be there for them. This is what he wrote in his testimony to me. From December to April, we experienced two major floods of our house in December and March, and two instances of COVID infection. Both the husband and wife got COVID in February, and their eldest daughter got it in April. Were we emotionally shaken over the past few months? Definitely. Were we anxious and worried with a thousand thoughts racing through our minds in the midst of the storms that we face? 100%. However, did we at any point feel alone, isolated, or hopeless? I can say with confidence, a resounding no. This confidence did not come from our own ability or strength, but a supernatural peace that comes from the Lord and that He has got it. He is in control. God gave us a sense of peace that transcends all understanding. It was a strong and yet gentle assurance that He never left or forsake us. More importantly, when we were in the midst of these challenges, He gave us a cell group that cared and prayed with us. From physical help to clean or to rebuild things, to constant supply of good, healthy and yummy food, to even encouraging words and concern shown, our hearts were so full from the practical and spiritual love by our cell group members. Now, one of our cell group members even drove all the way from his house to pour sulfur around the house compound when we were in COVID home isolation because we discovered a snake slithering at the front yard in February. We later found that he was actually quite fearful of snakes. He was snake phobia. But out of love, he just went for it. In fact, God even used this situation to give our house a wonderful physical makeover. We realized that even after having replaced the tiles and repaired the wall destroyed by the flood, the house looked better than ever before. We could not have done all this without God in our lives. And we definitely are thankful that He gave us a cell group that cares and loves. And this is how His house looks like right now. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give clap to God. Jesus cares for His body. And this is Alan and YKid's cell group that supported each other with prayers, food, and even sulfur. You know, I'm sure this is just one of the stories. There are many, many stories over at my PJS One Zone, even more throughout the zones in DUMC. Now, I'm sure that you think that, hey, what's the story about the pouring of the sulfur? Well, I have the evidence of this member. Our brother, Anson, who was afraid of snakes, he came and he helped his leader. Let's watch this video that the cell leader has secretly filmed. You could probably also see he's shaking when he's pouring that. He's afraid of snakes. Amen. What you see is not a person pouring sulfur, but a person who loves his member. Amen? Yeah. Now, that person represents many, many of you here, DMC members, who are part of a group, who are part of the family. Friends, Jesus cares for our well-being because we are the church. We are His body. We must never stop meeting together, but continue to persevere, just as what is said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together as some of are in a habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We don't know when the last days will be here. However, we know that the blessings we have being the body of Christ with Him as the head. The big idea again for us to remember that Jesus cares deeply for His body, the church. And this is how we benefit from His love by being the church. Friends, my call to action for you here and also online today. Number one, be the church. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Be involved. Be intentional. We are not a cruise ship attending and letting people serve us, but we are part of a battleship, together supporting one another, caring for each other, alert in a spiritual warfare to win the war for Christ. Join a cell group and to begin to grow together. Number two, be nurtured. Allow God's word and His people to speak life into you. I know many of us are independent and we are survivor, you know, and sometimes we do not need others, but God knows our nature. And through physical, emotional, and even spiritual, God knows our innermost needs. Therefore, be open, be nurtured, discern with the Spirit, and receive God's love in humility so that we can be transformed, so that we can bear much fruit. Let God prune away the other areas of our lives that is not worthy, but let us change to be Christ-like. The third one is to be Christ's ambassadors. We want to know Jesus intimately and do unto others. Learn to give of ourselves. We are not called to be hermit Christians. We are like the light given to shine so that Christ may break through the darkness. We want to make earth like heaven, not hell. We are called not to be hermit Christians. As we close, let us sing this chorus in response together, knowing that Christ loves us and cares for us. Let us stand and sing this chorus and bridge together. Church, friends, we are the church that receive blessings from God. Not having the blessing in a half-empty cup, or not even a half-full cup. We are a church that receives God's blessing in an overflowing cup. Amen? And we believe that, and we know that. And let's declare and sing this chorus and respond together as a church, as His body.
Who is like the Lord, our God, strong to save, faithful in love. My debt is paid and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation.
Let's sing it again.
Who is like the Lord, our God,
ask that many of you who have not been in a cell group today, now this is the time, this is the day for you to make that decision and join a cell group. There will be a QR code that is displayed here. Snap the photo, go to the link. You shall not miss out this community that God has prepared for you, because Jesus loves His church and Jesus cares for the body. The second ministry challenge is for those right now who hears about who God is, how much He loves His body. today, you can trust in Him by praying and receiving and making decisions to ask Him into your life. If you would like to trust in Jesus, allow me to lead you in this simple prayer. The word will be on the screen and that you can say it with me. If you would like to receive Christ as a Savior right now, say this with me. And brothers and sisters, you can say it along to encourage those who are saying it. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned against God, and I am sorry, and I want to turn away from all that is wrong. Thank you for making it possible for me to have forgiveness from God. Please, Lord Jesus, come and be the master of my life and help me be your spirit, by your spirit, to live right. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have said this in your heart or you have said it out in person, we would like to journey with you and answer any queries you may have. You can click on the QR code, you can scan on the QR code, or even click on the raise hands button on the chat, and someone will come alongside with you and to just support and pray with you. Friends, today is a time for us to pray for one another as the body of Christ. So those who are in need of prayer, you may go through life challenges, you may have health issues. Can I urge you and encourage you to come out even as we sing the last chorus so that our leaders and pastors can pray for you personally. Let's sing this chorus again. Lift our hands in receiving His blessing as I pray and as we close. Yes, God. Dear Lord, thank you for being the head of our church and that your promise is caring for this body. You are strong to save and faithful in love. Our debt is paid and our victory won. We lost it all, God, but you did it all so that we can have it all. We are eternally grateful. Help and guide us to be a church that cares for one another until the day comes when we are reunited with you in glory. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.